23, look there. And the song selection, every song that was sung this morning, was right down Main Street for what God wants to say through His preached word. Amen.
Yes.
So see it here. You got your place. We're talking about what happened here in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Christ was crucified. You can see it in Matthew 27. And you can see it in Mark 15. You can see it in Luke 23. And you can see it in John's Gospel. In the chapter, come to me in a moment. But I think you'll find it in John's Gospel. Brother Donnie, give me a helping hand right here. The one chapter.
19.
And so we see this. Every event is recorded a little bit different. But we find it here that in this place, Jesus is dealing with two men. And so He dealt with thousands at the time. He dealt with hundreds at the time. And sometimes He dealt with individuals. And He spoke it expressly to them.
Right.
In this event, there's two men on the cross. And so one's on one side of the Lord and one's on the other. We've got this account. And you're waiting for me to get to Luke 23. But see this here, and we'll find it. What kind of event would we expect this to be if we were where these men are?
Yeah.
Now, people are finding themselves there because of what's going on in the community and the sickness and the things we're experiencing. People, you know, it's almost like every morning when you come to work, and you get the first early morning gossip, and it's involving now who passed away. Who passed away? You call a loved one, and it's like, what have you heard? Who's passed away? And it's almost a daily event that somebody in the community, wherever you are in small town USA, somebody has passed.
Yeah.
And so these men are at a point, they know where they are, and they know why they're there.
Yeah.
And so they have come through this grueling night that Jesus come through. And we know there was no sleep for Christ that night, because from the Passover, He was apprehended. From the Lord's Supper that night, He was apprehended. And so He was taken to the judgment hall and to the trials and passed from this one and passed to that one. And so everybody wanted to question Him, and some wanted to double question Him. And it's take Him over there and bring Him back. And that was the last night that Jesus was upon this earth in bodily form as we see Him here. And so here we find that He's on the cross. And He's on the cross, and He's between two thieves. And so these men, as we began to read right here, in 33, if you look in there, the word said, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now He speaks this of those that are driving the nails, and those that thrust in His side with the spear, and these that have beat Him and tried Him and mocked Him. These are the ones He's praying for, that God would forgive them.
Yeah.
Why? Because for they know not what they do. I want to tell you, if we have any question about the compassion of the Savior, this verse right here should take that away. Verse 34. And so they parted His raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided Him, and said, others said, He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He be the Christ, the chosen of God. Watch 36. And the soldiers also mocked Him, coming to Him and offering Him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And so here they are, and all of the ridicule and torment and the shame of His naked body, there for the whole world to see on a cruel cross between two thieves. And so one man we're going to find has the presence. It's not just the presence of mind, but it's the conviction of the heart that causes this man to call out to Christ in a way that nobody else has called out to him.
Yeah.
And so you see it here. So the people stood beholding. The rulers also, the soldiers mocked in verse 36. And saying, if thou be the king, do this, do that, save yourself, save us. And so they were looking for a pony show. But Jesus wasn't there for a pony show. He wasn't there to get himself off the cross. Why? Because he understood that his place was on the cross. Amen. He had already settled that in the Garden of Gethsemane when he cried out to God. And he said, Lord, if thou be willing. Listen, even Christ, in the moment, the worst moment he physically endured, he prayed for the will of God. And he said, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me.
Yes.
But it didn't pass, did it?
No, sir.
It was God's perfect plan. Jesus in the flesh. If people wonder if Christ was flesh and God, this instance exposes that. And so he said, if you're willing, God, if you're willing, if we can thwart this plan, if you're willing, that's the flesh side of the Lord Jesus. That's from Mary and Joseph. And so not Joseph, but Mary. And so we find it here in his earthly mindset. He wants this cup to pass, but he said, Father, God, give us a spirit like this that says, not my will, but thy will be done.
Amen.
And Jesus understood that it was God's will for him to drink that cup.
Right.
And it was the cup that he drank. And the word said it here. Look down to 39. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. You know, this is a self-serving example of what people can get from God.
Yeah.
You know, there's people that go to church because they want to be looking good down at the prison system, and it looks like, you know, they're on the road to recovery. There's people that go to church to appease their wife. People that go to church to appease their husband. People that go to church to appease their parents. People go to church because somebody told them they're supposed to, and that's where they go. And oftentimes, it's if they're not there, maybe it's because they can't be there, but sometimes they don't go because they really want to, and sometimes they do go because somebody expected them to.
It's true.
It's also human behavior.
Yes.
And so politicians, you watch now sometimes, you've seen this, I'm sure. I'm sure you've seen this. Where politicians go to church while the election's going on, but as soon as the election's over, you know, they've got other things to do.
You're right.
It happens. So the same thing happens for people that aren't politicians. You know, people go to church to get a boyfriend. People go to church to get a girlfriend. People go to church to get a wife, don't they? For all kinds of reasons, people go to church. So here they are, and one has railed on him and said, if you're the Christ, save him and save yourself. And oh, by the way, save me too. And get us off of this cross.
Uh-huh.
You have to imagine this is in the anguish and the pain of nails, big iron nails. I compare them to railroad spikes. I don't know. I've never seen a picture that I thought would be worthwhile, but I see them as they have to be of great size to hold the weight of the body, don't they?
True.
Because in physical displacement, you've got a 150-pound man or more, and his weight is upon three nails, and we know those are not 16-penny nails. And so here, while he is hanging, they're worried about what's going on and the physical anguish of it all. I am amazed at the conversation that they had, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
I'm thinking, if I'm there, I don't know how much conversing I'm doing. I mean, physically, it's got to be one of the most horrible things that can happen to a human.
Amen.
And so they're here, and all their weight is suspended on three huge nails. And so in the anguish and pain of it all, they're conversing, and in their desperation, one said, if you be him, then save yourself and us. Don't forget us in that event.
Yes.
If you really him, save us.
That's what he said.
Now this fellow I don't find was ever interested in being saved before. We've got no account of that, do we?
No.
We don't have his social or his home phone or his address. And so there's two men, remember. And the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Wait now, this man's got a different attitude.
Yeah.
You know, salvation is a mindset that becomes the fruition of God's grace being imparted. That's what happens. And so that's why we're to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so this is what happens. Salvation is what God does on the inside, but it's when the heart repents.
Yeah.
It's when the sinner cries out. It's when the sinner calls. That's why we see the command of God. Call unto me and I'll answer thee, yeah. Jeremiah said. And I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And so God always encouraged his young'uns and those who would be his young'uns to call upon him.
Amen.
And this one fellow's railing on the Lord because he's not interested in getting saved. He's interested in getting off the cross.
I know.
And so Christ deals with him, and the other fellow dealt with him and said, dost not thou fear God, seeing we're all in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. Watch this man's heart. This man had watched somewhere he had watched Christ, maybe in person, or what he's heard. And he understands one thing. Yes, we're all on this cross together. Three crosses. We're all on the cross together. But this fella in the middle don't belong here. He don't belong.
Yes.
And he had a heart that understood that.
Yes, sir.
And it was an open way of accepting his punishment.
Amen.
And admitting his guilt. If you watch now, we're going to see there's not a lot of conversation in this conversion experience.
Right.
But there didn't have to be. People say, well, preacher, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. You don't have to.
That's it.
You don't have to. Why? Because Jonah understood this. And one thing Jonah gave us, a nugget of truth that we should never forget in his short book, where he said one thing he found is salvation is of the Lord.
Yes.
It's what the Lord does.
Hallelujah.
You know, we could cry and pray and beg and plead and give all our money to the poor and do all of these things. That's not going to save us.
No.
Salvation's of the Lord. It's what God does.
Yes.
And this man understood something. He said, this fella, he said, listen, we're receiving the just reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. I don't know how many times he's encountered Jesus or if he's ever encountered Jesus, but I tell you, he understands that there's no failures in Christ. There's no shortcomings. This man's done nothing amiss. And he said, look, Joe, me and you belong here, but he don't belong here. I've done heard about him. Mama come home and told me she watched the revival and she watched 5,000 get saved besides the women and children.
Amen.
Could have been 20,000 got saved. And this fellow's personal experience we know very little about. I'm thinking his only personal experience for Christ is right here. But we don't know that. But we know he knows something about Jesus.
Amen.
You know, people say, well, I tell my children about the Lord and I teach them how to, you know, enjoy the things of God when they're young and they don't mean anything. And it's just water off a duck's back and they don't pay any mind. I promise you they're paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, you know when they're going to call? They're going to call in the time of trouble. Typically, that's when we all call, is in the time of trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, usually we start looking for the Lord when something bad happens.
Amen.
And so these fellas right here, you know why they're even interested in talking to Jesus? Because they're all on the cross together.
That's it.
And they got a need. And so listen, let's don't be alarmed that people come to the Lord when they got a need. When they're in the hospital, ICU, they got a need. That's when they come to the Lord. That's okay. That's human nature. That's all right. Jesus just desires that men and women come to the Lord. That's what He wants.
Yes, amen.
That's what He wants. And so watch now. If you don't think that's so, the next verse is going to confirm it. And He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. These men knew they were all three on the same type cross, and they were all suffering the same type death. And He knew one thing, that when it was all over and there was nothing left but the crying, Jesus was going to be in His kingdom. Now, who planted that seed in His heart? Who granted Him faith like that? We're granted faith. Faith is imparted. Is that not so?
Yes.
See, we think saving faith is what men can put together and yonder up. This faith's what men do. It's not what men do. It's what God does. God imparts saving faith. So you need to understand this, because you've got loved ones. You want to get saved. You want to see them saved. But saving faith is imparted.
Yes.
And so I don't know what this fellow saw. He might have been there when Jesus took those five fishes and those two loaves, or five loaves and two fishes, and He broke them and He blessed them and He fed the 5,000. He might have been there. He might have been like, wow, that was amazing. I remember that. I tell you, I don't understand Jesus, that fellow might have said, but I believe He can do anything.
Hallelujah.
He believed that, didn't he? Oh, Zacchaeus climbed that sycamore tree. You know why he climbed it? Because he wanted to see Jesus for who He was.
Amen.
Not who he'd heard about. Not what people said down at the barbershop. No, he wanted to see it. I remember the night God saved me. You know what I wanted? I wanted to know Jesus for who He was. That's what I wanted. I didn't want a little churchy relationship. I wanted a salvation relationship. And the only reason I wanted that was because God convicted me. And so convictions of God and salvations of God and the keeping powers of God. The only reason we're in this way today, church, is because of God. And this man understood this. And he said, look, fella, we all in the same boat. But I can tell you, this man's done nothing amiss.
Yes.
Not one thing has he done that's wrong. Nothing. That's faith, isn't it?
Yes.
And so, watch the conversation as it goes forward. He said, remember Jesus, Lord. He said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now we got a picture of paradise in Luke 16. We're going to take time to turn back there. But in Luke 16, we know the event begins in 19, goes through 31. Luke 16, 19, you can find it. We can see it where the rich man died. And the beggar also died. And the word said he was carried into angel Abraham's bosom.
Yeah.
Remember this story? And the rich man died, and the word said, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Yeah. Immediate torment. Remember, two men died. The rich man and the beggar. The rich man didn't go to hell because he's rich.
No.
No more than the poor man went to heaven because he's saved. Now we're going to clarify the thing of heaven right here. But we see this, that in this event, we see them talking across the great gulf.
Yeah.
They describe the great gulf. And here we could find that the sinner man who left here lost. People said, preacher, I'll get it fixed when I get there. No, you won't. It's going to be fixed here. The way you leave is the way you're going to arrive. We see this in this event. We see this where the rich man, the word said he died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. torment in the flames, and he cried out to Father Abraham for mercy, as we see Abraham in the place of Hades, which it speaks of the place of the dead, until Christ ascended and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Until that happened, the righteous people were in Hades, and so we see the great gulf between them. And this passage, Luke 16, will explain it. You can go back and see it. And so the word said that the beggar died, and the rich man also died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes and he felt the flame. And Abraham said, "Son, in thy lifetime thou receivest thy good things, and Lazarus evil things." And he said, there's a great gulf fixed where we couldn't go to you and you can't come to us. But they could converse across that gulf. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
And he said, this is what the rich man said, "Send Lazarus and let him dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." Now that's Luke 16:19-31. In the passage we're looking right here, I want you to see it, because these two men have two different destinies.
Yeah.
Two different destinies. And so remember, right here in 42, we read it, he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say to thee, today," not next week, "today thou shalt be with me in paradise." When the Psalms talked about Jesus going into the lower parts of the earth, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Those righteous souls, when Jesus ascended, they ascended with him and are in the presence of Christ today. Amen. But until then, until that point in the Old Testament times, we see it that they were in the resting place. And so here we find that God has dealt with these men, and he dealt with them justly, and the saved was saved and the lost was lost. See, this is probably one of the only pictures where you see it in three or four verses, what happens to saved people and what happens to lost people. Two men, both on the cross, and they both belonged there, didn't they? You know, this fella never said, "I got a bad rap, I got a bad judge, somebody else done it, I got framed." He never said that, did he?
No.
What's his heart? I want to tell you the kind of people that Christ saves. It's right here in this passage, you'll see it. And so here, he said unto Jesus, 42, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto thee, today." People wonder who the Lord saves and how does he do it. He saves everyone whom he wills, and he does it immediately.
Amen.
This man didn't have no time to get down and go fix some things. People said, "Preacher, I got to make reparations. I got to go make restitution. I got to go pay some folks back that I robbed, I stole from. I got to go do this, do that. I got things I got to do." This man had no time to do anything, did he?
That's right, brother.
He never come off that cross till those Roman soldiers took him off. But he went up on that cross, a sinner. And he come off that cross.
Hallelujah.
Pure and clean.
Thank God.
It's what the Lord does.
Yes.
See it now. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise," the place of the righteous dead, at that point where Abraham was.
Yes.
The great gulf fix. It's amazing to me. In that great gulf, have you ever thought about it? They can see one another. They can hear one another. They can communicate. But Abraham explained that great gulf. He said, there's a great gulf fix where those here can't go to you and those there can't come here to us.
Yes.
God did that, didn't he?
Amen.
That's an amazing picture. we don't pay enough attention to. But you know what's going to happen? These two thieves on either side of the Lord Jesus, one is going to one side of that gulf, and one is about to go to the other side of the gulf.
Yes.
Now, were they business partners? The word don't say. That means, did they do their thieving together? Did they rob banks together? Did they beat old ladies down in the floor and take their purse? Did they do that together? We don't know. We don't know what they done. We don't know what they're on the cross for. We just know they're both on the cross probably for the same deeds. And they face the same punishment. And they're looking at the same eternity in just a couple hours. You know, if somebody preached a message, what would you do if you only had 24 hours to live?
That's it.
What would you do different? Think about that just a moment. What would you go do? What would be tops on your itinerary if you knew you only had 24 hours to live? You know, some of those names that were brought up at the workplace every morning, you know, you're catching up on the skinny. What's going on here? What's going on there? And it's like that one passed, and that one passed, and that one passed. And if they knew they only had 24 hours to live, what would they do?
Yes.
These men basically spent the last 12 or 14 hours of their life with Jesus. One got in and one didn't.
That's right.
They watched the same events. They heard some of the same sermons. They heard some of the same answers to the questions. And one had one experience of repenting, and the other had another experience of rebelling. And they had two different destinies. Wouldn't you hate to know that you were in the presence of the Savior time and time and time again, and you woke up in hell like the rich man, and you thought, wow. Why did I do that?
Yes.
Why did I rebel against that? You know, that's going to happen to a lot of people, don't you?
Man.
You know, if people believed what we believe, there'd be no empty chairs in here.
No.
There'd be no empty pews.
Right.
If they believed. If this other man on the cross, we don't know much about him, but we just know he rebelled. He rebelled against Christ on his deathbed. Now, if you don't think sin will blind you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we would say, preacher, if I knew I only had 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it was right here, we know they took them down by the time it was dark. And so just a few hours left to live. If I knew I only had a few hours left to live, I'd make sure I was right with God. Well, there's people just like this fellow that don't.
Sure are.
And they know they're going that way. And sin has blinded their heart. I want to show you this. Go forward a little bit, a couple passages, and we'll wrap up. I want you to see some things I really think tie good together. If you're looking in Hebrews chapter number 12, I want you to see something. I always love this passage, and I was coming down the road, and the Holy Ghost reminded me of it, and I thought, well, I think that would be quite appropriate to what's going on in Luke 23.
Yes.
Because we've got questions that we can't find answers for. I can't find answers for why people won't call on God. Why they won't repent. Why they would rather have their human nature held deserving ways as to have. Now I understand how the flesh operates. Trust me, I battle it every day just like you do. But in the great scheme of things, there's people that will reject God's plan for fun.
Oh, yeah.
As they call it. Or sin. Or pleasure. And we got an example of that. It's not a brand new concept. You're looking in Hebrews chapter 11. Or pardon me, chapter 12. Follow peace, verse 14, with all men and holiness. It's not a denomination. It's a way of life. Follow peace with all men. How contentious are we? Do we seek to be contentious? I know people that do, don't you? They love contention. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That thief that rejected Christ never saw Christ again. He rejected him. And he said, he cried out. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. He spent eternity there. He'll go to the judgment. Then the lake of fire. That's his doom. It's sealed. How long has he been there, preacher? Ever since Jesus wrote this passage.
That's
how long he's been there. Day after day, burning in the flame. Day after day, torment, cry, begging. You say, well, I'll burn up. I used to think this is how the flesh works. I used to think when I was a teenager, ripping and tearing, I thought, well, you know, if I went to hell, I'll burn up and that'll be it. I was Bible ignorant, but I was also lost as a billy goat. And so I thought, you know, if I die lost and burn up, that's going to be it. No, that ain't it. But I didn't have anybody to tell me that until that old pot-belly preacher come by preaching hell hot and hell forever. And when he preached that, it tore down my doctrine. I had to rewrite my doctrine because he was getting his out of the book and I was getting mine out of my noggin. And the Holy Ghost said, better listen to the Word of God.
Amen.
Because there are people that think I'll burn up momentarily and that'll be it. It's not so. So follow peace with all men and holiness, which without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God.
Yes.
Now notice the wording of that passage. He didn't say the grace of God fails.
No.
The grace of God never fails.
No, sir.
But men fail and women fail.
Amen.
And so this is what he's talking about. He's talking about falling short of the grace of God, lest any man fail of the grace of God. And he's given us an example now in the next verse 15. Lest there be any profane person,
yes,
or fornicator as Esau. Remember Esau? Esau come here with the birthright. He had the birthright. It belonged to him. He was the firstborn. He was the firstborn, but he thought nothing of it. He deemed it of no value. And when his little belly got to growling and he got all ill and ornery, and Jacob said, hey, I got some morsels over here. I got some pottage over here. And if you'll take that pottage, I'll take it for your birthright. And Esau said, what in the name of heaven is that birthright good for me? It's not going to do anything for me.
No, that's what he thought.
And he sold it. And here Paul, I give credit to Hebrews, to Paul. Whoever wrote it, it's inspired.
Yes.
But the word said, lest there be any profane person or fornicator as Esau, who for one morsel of meat, what did he do? He sold.
Yes.
He sold the thing that was holy. He sold the thing that was honorable. He sold the birthright, and he said, it's no good to me. You know what people do today? They say the gospel of God is of no good to me. And spiritually speaking, they sell it and they walk away.
Yes, sir.
That's what they do.
Sure do.
That's what Esau did. And here, the reference is made of him as Esau, who for one morsel of meat, he only got one meal out of that.
Yeah.
You know what that speaks of? Loving flesh.
Yeah.
We have to eat. We're not talking about the physical, but we're talking about loving flesh. He was more interested. He couldn't believe God for his continuing, and he trusted flesh. The arm of flesh, like the old song says, the arm of flesh will fail you.
Yes, sir.
And it failed Esau. And God said, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Mm-hmm. Look at 17, I want you to see this. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance.
There you go.
Watch now. Though he sought it carefully with tears.
Yes.
Esau had a day of remorse. He'd like to have a do-over.
Yeah.
He'd like to go back, roll back the tape. Roll back the tape, Lord. I want to do that different. But he found no place of repentance.
That's it.
Esau died outside of the will of God.
Amen.
A profane person, what Hebrews called him, not me. A fornicator.
Yes.
Despising the things that are holy. Last place I want you to see real quick. Look over to Acts 26. Acts 26 and see this. Paul the Apostle. 26 verse 1. Paul comes before Agrippa. And Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. And he said, "I thank myself, happy King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day." Paul's very familiar with jails, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere he went, they put him in the hoose cow.
That's true.
Everywhere he went, they locked him up.
Yeah.
And so he's got out and he stood before more kings and more leaders and more emperors than you can shake a stick at.
Yes.
Everywhere they went, they beat him up. They locked him up. They let him out and let him preach a little bit. And some of them locked him up again.
Yeah.
Some of them put him on a boat. All these things Paul endured.
Yes.
But bless God, he didn't lose his joy, did he?
No, sir.
No, because he's trusting. He's trusting him that saved him. And see this now, I think myself happy. How could you be happy in a rat-infested jail, Paul? He said, "I think myself happy because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused." And so he goes down and he deals with this, and he takes a long time and he deals with King Agrippa here. And so we know that he has testified before princes and before governors and before kings almost his whole life. And so he's sharing God's word. He's preaching repentance in verse number 20. He's preaching the words of Christ. You'll see them right there in verses 14 to 18. And it comes on down a little bit. And Festus, look, Festus weighed in. Festus is there. And he said with a loud voice, he said, "Paul, thou art beside thyself, and much learning doth make thee mad." And he said, "I'm not beside myself, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." And looking down a little bit to what Agrippa had to say about it, they're both present. And Paul approached Agrippa. He said in 26, "These things were not done in a corner." And King Agrippa, "Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." See, Paul is affirming. Paul is giving him every opportunity to say, "Yes, man, I believe."
Amen.
Paul, this is one instance we know for sure. He is leading this man to Christ. He said, "Come on, Brother Donovan, you believe. I know you believe. Come on, I know you believe." It's almost like saying, "Come here." You got a little kid learning how to walk. You know, you're like, "Come here, come here, come here."
Yeah.
And so this is what he's saying. He's saying, Agrippa, he is literally leading Agrippa to Christ. He said, "I know thou believest."
Right.
All he had to say was, "Yeah, I believe."
Amen.
But he couldn't do it.
No.
Watch now what he said, his answer, the power was in his answer. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian."
Mm-hmm.
Almost.
Mm-hmm.
But almost ain't good enough, is it?
No.
And he used the same word back in his answer. And Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but all those that hear me this day."
Yes.
We're not almost, but all together. Almost and all together, such as I am, except these bonds. And when he spoke these words, the king rose up and the governor and they that sat with him. We don't know that Agrippa ever got saved, do we?
No.
Last account we had, he rejected.
That's
right.
Almost. Somebody wrote a song about this verse.
Sure did.
Maybe as we stand together and Miss Emily comes to the piano, maybe we can sing something. I'll give you an opportunity. If it's not right for you this morning, maybe you want to get it right.
Yes.
You said, preacher, I'm almost there, but I'm not sure.
Yes.
Well, there's another song that says something about blessed assurance.
That's right.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. So the songwriter, should we stand together, stretch your legs, let the blood flow?
Amen.
The songwriters had it right. The Apostle Paul had it right. King Jesus had it right. And so as Jesus appealed to this one man, we don't know if he's on the left hand or the right. It's in the two.
Yes.
He said, Lord, remember me. May I make note right here, he did not know the sinner's prayer.
No.
The only sinner's prayer he had was the one that come boiling out of his heart.
That's it.
When he said, Lord, remember me. Remember me. He didn't know what to say. He skipped out on all them vacation Bible schools. He didn't learn the proper procedure. He didn't get the handbook. But he knew one thing. He knew he was on the cross and he was dying a cruel death and he was about to go to a devil's hell. And he looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me.
Yes.
You know what it shows you as she plays? It shows you this. It shows you that Jesus does not get hung up on the technicalities. Jesus didn't get hung up on the fact that this fella didn't know what to say or do. Jesus already knows you and I don't know what to say or do. He said, Lord, he acknowledged it as Lord. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And I believe Jesus with the blood and the sweat and the tears and the agony. I believe if he could, he looked over his way and said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus knew he was going to paradise. God gave the man the opportunity to get on the train. Ask you something. If you were one of those statistics we're talking about that we seemingly hear from week to week, if you were one of those, would your loved ones know where you are with them? Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to ask you this. If we've become part of that reported number of those that didn't come through, are you ready? Have you ever told Jesus you want to be with him? You ever asked Christ to remember you? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved, that you're ready, that you're right, that you're born again? Because if there was any doubt, I'd be up here in these altars asking people of God to pray for me. Death's real. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin the cause. Christ the cure. Woo! That one fellow was starting off. And that other one said, Lord, just remember me when you come into your kingdom. Oh, he didn't get the notes. He didn't know what to say. He didn't have the appropriate form. Bless God, he knew one thing. He wanted Christ to save him. He knew his life was short. He's leaving here. He wanted to be saved. How about you this morning? You got family members that need this message? You ought to share it. Share it with him. Preacher, I don't know what to say. That man on the cross didn't either. But he knew he wanted the Lord to remember. Remember me, Lord. See, it's not about form. It's not about routine. It's not about getting the handbook. It's about having a heart for Christ and Christ alone and trusting Him and Him alone. That's the gospel of God. Amen. For one morsel of meat, Esau sold his birthright. One morsel. God, give us favor today to honor things that are holy. Honor things that are right. Honor your truths. Give us hearts to repent. God even saved people need to repent. I need to repent. God, we ask you, we beg you, we seek you. We trust you, Lord. Grant it now, in Jesus' wonderful name, we pray.
Thank you, Brother Bill.